In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Page 11, volume 32, 10:22, 1933. There are neither secrets nor screens for the one who lives in our divine will, but all is revealed. So here we see that with the saints, there was always secrets. For example, a saint could receive a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary, and the rest of it was secret. The rest of it was hidden. But Jesus says this is not the way with Luisa and the children linked to Luisa. There's no secrets. To share in God's divinity, when in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, it's very clear. Jesus said to Luisa, "The secrets of the Holy Spirit are given to you, Luisa. The treasures of the Holy Spirit are given to you, Luisa." So nothing now is hidden between God and man. And it depends on the docility of the creature. The more docile the creature is, the more God can reveal himself to that creature. Like I said, 30, 60, or 100-fold, you will get what you're longing for, what you are working for. And we work to possess this gift by reading, by studying, and by putting it into practice. God wants us to enter into a share of divinity. Not just to be good and holy and saintly, but a share of divinity. And so he's looking at us, and he's offering this to us as much as we want or as little as we want. So the one who possesses it, the one who has the center of the light of the divine will, it's found in Luisa. And the firstborn, the first human who now possesses the image and likeness of God since Adam. And because of the Book of Heaven, Luisa possesses more of the image and likeness of God than Adam. The only thing she's missing is the glorified state. Everything else has been given to her. And that's why Jesus is now offering this to us. He's trying to show us the way and the how we can live in the image and likeness of God through the secrets and the treasures that have been given to Luisa. Again, volume 17, May 4th, 1925, that is essential for us to understand this gift. This is not about becoming a saint. That's basically to be in a reflection of Jesus. That's volume 1 through volume 10, how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God is what God is asking of us. It's not doing that which is right, but living. That means to live. Jesus is alive in us to such an extent that he is gazing in our gazing. He is listening in our listening. He is walking in our walking. He is breathing in our breathing. He is praying in our praying. This image and likeness is the secret, is the treasure that the saints did not have. The saints did not know how to live this. They learned how to do the will of God. But now Jesus is showing us how to live in the will of God. And he says, for Luisa, for the one who lives in our divine will, it's revealed. So our job is to get closer to Luisa. Our job is to get so close to Luisa that we can begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary that Luisa fully possesses. It's all revealed to her. So Jesus says, we, the triune God, can say that we cannot hide ourselves from Luisa because our divine will itself already reveals us. So here, finally, it's not doing the will of God, but living in the will of God, living in God's image and likeness. What God originally wanted from Adam. Luisa will receive this glorified body. That's one of the things that Jesus talks to Luisa about. When this happens, the whole world will shake, the whole world will shudder. They're going to see a human born of original sin in the image and likeness of God. Everything's going to become full circle. It's going to go back to where we were before the fall. It's going to look, Jesus says to Louisa, as if Adam never sinned. What does that mean for us? That means we never sinned, because everything will be repaired and redone. Remember, at the end of her life, Louisa said, "I'm so sorry, I didn't always live in the divine will." And Jesus says, "You were always there from the beginning of time." What Jesus taught her was how to begin to live this abundant life. What Jesus taught her is the prayer of the church. "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle us the fire of your love," that's the divine will. "Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated, and then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us." Why? We're repairing and redoing. We're going to repair and redo everything as if Adam never sinned. That's what God's longing for. How can we be eternally happy in heaven if we can look back on our sinful life? You know, we can't. So what's going to happen is everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. This is what Jesus did on the cross. This is what Our Lady did at the foot of the cross. And now they gave this to Louisa. So our job is to read this and study this. It's to learning how to live in the divine will. Who can hide from God? Who can hide from God? This is something that's so important. We're going to see God within us. Like I said, one of the first things that I heard back in 1976 about the divine will is to look in to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. That's what God wants. To look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. He wants to make each of us a divine masterpiece. It's not to limit God in any way of what he wants to accomplish. So he says to not know his secrets in what he wants to do. He says no one. Who can hide himself from God? To not know God's secrets and what God wants to do. No one will be able to say, "I don't know." We're going to enter into this as much or as little as we want, 30, 60, or 100-fold. As we enter into this, each microsecond is a new heaven. Each microsecond is to, in eternity, for all eternity, is more beautiful than the last microsecond. Heaven isn't stagnant. Heaven isn't like earth. It's not the same day, you know, it's not getting up every morning and going to the same job. Heaven is magnificent at every instant. It's more beautiful, it's more holy, it's saintly, it's good, it's divine. It's never ending. And that's what God is, he's calling us to enter into this abundant life. So again, who can hide from God? To not know God's secrets and what God wants to do. No one. He can hide himself from others, but from himself, God reigning within, it is impossible. And he says, such is our holy divine will. It makes itself revealer and lets the creature know what it does and what it wants to do. And it makes the soul the great surprise. Give the soul the great surprise of our divine being. So just think of that. For all eternity, we're going to enter into God. God is the revealer. God lets us know what God wants done, what God wants to do. And it makes the soul in God with a great surprise of God's divine being. This isn't human. This is divine. And we're... Think of it. God breathed into dust his image and likeness. He breathed into dust the image and likeness. What came out of the dust is the image and likeness of God. And again, the sad part about that is A lot of people just say, well, Adam came out of the dust. Well, Adam, a man, came out. No. That man was in the image and likeness of God. And that's what he wants for us. We have to understand we limit God by just saying Adam was just another human. Adam was in God's image and likeness. That's what God wanted. What came out of the earth was the image and likeness of God. I mean, you look at a sculpture of a person. It's lifeless. Adam was the perfect image and likeness of God. He wasn't God, but he reflected all of God's glory. And that's why Jesus says to us in the divine will, I want to give you so much that you will reflect my divine glory. You will reflect the divine qualities of God. Again, it's not to be a good person, a holy person, a saintly person, but to reflect God. You have to understand what God is doing. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. I mean, what's coming? God's hidden this from the beginning of time. Adam possessed it, but Adam lost it. Yet he gave to Louisa more than he gave to Adam. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, if Adam had not sinned, I would have taught him the book of heaven. And he would have taught this to his children. But since he fell, he was deaf, dumb, and blind. He couldn't understand anything that God was saying to him. God had to come and renew the world, repair the world. And then after his resurrection, through his resurrection, he is now given this gift of resurrecting into divine life to Louisa. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. So he says this, but who can tell you where the soul reaches and what the soul can do by possessing our divine will as their life? He says, nobody has any idea of what's going to happen. He says this, it is the true transformation. It is the true consummation of the creature in God. That's what happens. And God takes the active part. And God says, everything is mine. I do everything in this soul, in this creature. True transformation, true consumption, of the creature in God. God takes the active part and God says, everything is mine. That soul belongs totally to me. I possess that soul. And he says, I do everything in this soul. So it's not, I mean, you look at the Blessed Mother. She is the Immaculate Conception. She is Theotokos. No one can compare to the Blessed Mother. Yet, Louisa possesses the true life of Mary. She doesn't possess the total life of Mary, but she possesses the true life of Mary because of her docility, because of her surrender, because of her submission. The same thing with God. Louisa is not God, but she possesses the true reflection of God, image and likeness of God. So do you see what God is doing? It's not just being about good and holy and saintly. It's about being transmuted in God. This is what God's waiting for. He says to Louisa, I've waited 6,000 years to do this. And he says, because it is a divine decree, it's going to be accomplished. God is going to do it. So he looks at the world and he says to everyone in the world, basically, who can I find that's little and insignificant? Who can I find that's hidden? And he finds Louisa. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn. And then Jesus says, when Louisa looks around and sees these souls around her, and she says, who are these souls around me? And Jesus says, these are the souls that I have given to you. So God has done this. So therefore, our job is to know Louisa. Our job is to call in Louisa, pray to Louisa. She's not a saint. to call her a saint would be an insult, because she's not doing, the saints did the will of God. She lived in the will of God. She possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is what's so astonishing about this Luisa Picaretta. What does Jesus say? He says very clearly, he says, everything is mine. She belongs totally to me. Every eye blink, every swallow, every step, every thought, every word, every deed is mine. I, God, do everything in Luisa. Do you see what God's calling us to? To live in our nothingness. To be little, insignificant, and hidden, as Father Bucci says. To want to have nothing that is human. To want to know nothing that is human. He wants us to learn the divine. No, that's why he created humans. So that the human will be in his image and likeness. So God can say, everything is mine in each and every one of us. We belong totally to God. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to anybody else. I do everything in this soul, in this creature. That's what God wants to say to us. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to give our fiat. That's all it is, his fiat. This is what you want, God? I want it. This is what you gave to Luisa? I want what you gave to Luisa. And then we got to really prove that to Jesus. And how do we prove it to Jesus? By reading every time you word. Remember, the word of God dictated these words to Luisa. Each word is a divine life, infinite life. That word, every time you read it, is more beautiful than it was before. It's more filled with the divine qualities. And he, the Lord God of Almighty, wants to breathe that word in us. And that's what it is. Every word that you read, Jesus says, is a puff of the Spirit of God, the Ruah of God, the breath of God. He says, I can't fill you like I filled Adam. Adam was dust. I could breathe in him as much as I want. There was no limit to what I was forming. But your body is limited. And he says, the only way you can possess this gift is by reading. The more that we read, the more that we make the book of heaven our life. That's why I'm asking everybody to read the calendar this year. The time is short. How do we know the time is short? Our Lady of Revelation said 72 years ago, the time is now coming to an end. Time is over. And she wants us to begin to live this abundant life. It's the same thing with Our Lady of America. Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling has everything to do with the divine will. And what does she say? She says, this is what she tells Sister Ephraim, Mary Ephraim. This is my last resort. This is my last resort. 1956. This is my last resort. I can't think of anything else I can do. So she appears to her and she says, all you have to do is process me in the basilica. So our job is to begin to live this abundant life. That's the only reason I'm bringing up Our Lady of America, is because it goes hand in hand with the divine will. She says the children of America will bring purity to the world. The purity that we're supposed to bring to the world is the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. To live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. How is that accomplished? It's through Luisa. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to do it. So she said, Jesus says, it is the true and divine wedding in which God seeds his divine being to his beloved creature. God came to earth for a bride. God came to earth to find a bride. And we all went through the mystical marriage that Luisa possessed, because we have this because we're linked to Luisa. There's no other reason for having the mystical marriage. We're not great saints. The mystical marriage is only given to great saints. But because we're linked to Luisa, we can possess this. We buy the ring. We wear the ring. Why? To say yes to the proposal of Jesus. You have to remember, everything is working hand in hand here. Jesus is coming for his bride. He wants to marry his bride collectively in the Holy Church, but he also wants to marry his bride individually. Each and every one of us he wants to marry. And he wants us to be so one with him that it will be as if, as Jesus, what Jesus says to Louisa, each human, each person has his own personal Jesus. And again, you have to understand what the divine will is the true divine wedding in which God cedes his divine being to his beloved creature. The first one is the Blessed Mother, of course. She's Theotokos. She is the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what she said to Bruno in 1947. And it's the same thing now. Now what God wants is he wants to marry us individually. And that's why we did the mystical marriage. That's why you wear your ring. That's why you have said to yes to Jesus' proposal to you personally. And it doesn't mean you're great at all. It means that because of Louisa, we can do this. So the next part is, it says, it is the true and divine wedding in which God cedes his being, divine being, to his beloved creature. So God is looking at us, and he's wanting us to allow him give us a greater share in divinity. How? By being married to God. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. And this is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass when he puts the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. So the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, you know, this is so important to him that the whole world is going to change. He's waited to do this from the beginning of time. And so he's asking us to let go of the things of the earth and to begin to embrace the things of heaven. So he says, my little daughter, you must know, and again, it's highlighted and underlined. This is a command from Jesus. You must know this. You have to understand this. That's why that book, You Must Know, is so important. As you go through it over and over and over, what happens is God begins to reveal to you things that you never even imagined. Why? Because you got to go through, it's like an onion, you got to go through many layers to get to what God is asking of you. It's so deep, it's so beautiful, it's so divine that you can't get it at the first peel. You got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And you do this by reading. Every time you read, you get a deeper understanding of what God is saying. You must know this, that my supreme will looks at the one who wants to live in it as it live in it as its birth. So to live in the divine will is to, this is what it means to be reborn, but it's reborn at every instant. It's to be new and more beautiful at every microsecond. It's not about anything that we know of on this earth. Everything on this earth is born to die. You know, it's to be born in the divine will is to be reborn, 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 constantly. And never ending. Every rebirth is more beautiful than the last. It's more spectacular than the last. Okay, so he says, you have to understand this, that my will, my holy will, my supreme will, looks at Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa, who wants to live in the divine will as its birth, never ending, who wants to grow in the divine will's arms with its maternal cares. And as the divine will sees that its tiny little one wants to give herself of herself with her little works, in order to tell the divine will that she loves the divine will, this divine mother clasps its little daughter to its bosom and fortifies with its divine strength the motion, the word, the step of its daughter. So here now Jesus is showing that he not only wants to marry us, but he wants to give birth to us continuously. He wants to feed us with divine light, divine love, divine life, with every thought, every word, every deed that we do. See, he wants us to share in his divinity. He doesn't want us to do anything that's human. He wants us to do everything that is divine, to feed of the food of the divine will. This is the first bread, to nourish ourselves with that which is divine. So God is waiting for us to let go of everything so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to really begin to live this abundant life. How glorious is that? That our God is... He hasn't asked the saints to do this. The saints were to do the will of God. We are called to live in the will of God. It's not human. He created the perfect human, Adam, in God's image and likeness. And because of our fall, we live in this state where we get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That was never part of God's plan. It was always to be eternally young with God, fused with God, never to be separated from the love of God. And so our Lord is now, because of Louisa, our Lord is now offering it to us. And he's offered it to many, many people. But most have said no. Most have said no, thank you. And God says to us, well, he says, will you do it for them? Their human will is so strong that they don't want to live outside of their human will. They treasure their human will. They treasure their human ego. They want to feel important. They want to be large. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be little, insignificant, and hidden. That's what he's asking. Why? That was Our Lady. That was our Lord. That was Louisa. It's what God loves, he keeps hidden. What God loves, he treasures. Why? He doesn't want anybody else to have it. So he looks at us and he says, well, are you willing to do this? So what Jesus says, you must know this. He says, you have to go to God as a bride. You have to go to God as a little child. You have to be fed by God. And he says, this strength invests everything. This strength transforms the soul. And although she is little, she sees herself little yet strong, little yet victor. And this mother, this divine will, takes enjoyment in letting itself be conquered by its little daughter. So again, look at what God is doing. Divine strength invests everything. Divine strength transforms us. So how does this happen? You have to know the how and the way this is going to be accomplished. How is this going to happen? Read the book of heaven. What way is it going to happen? Read the book of heaven. See, Jesus, the Word, speaks to us directly. And he wants us to hear him. He wants us to learn from him. So again, that's why you go to your room, close the door, and pray. You really get rid of all the other things in life because they're not important. The only thing that's important is the divine will. The only thing that's important is your fiat. You're wanting to say yes to what God wants. And what does God want? He says, I want you to share in my divinity. I want you to enter into a divine life. I want you to experience me, the Lord God Almighty. I want you to be my bride. I want you to be my child. I want you to feed you. I want to show you everything. I want to give you all my secrets, all my treasures, as much as you want. You see, there's no limit to this. The only person that can limit you is yourself. When you say, well, I don't think I can do this, God says, that's right. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. It's got, the fiat has to be there. The fiat has to be constantly there. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for our fiat. He's waiting for our yes. This is so important to Jesus. It's divine strength invests everything. The divine strength transforms the soul. And even though the soul is little, it is little but strong. It is little but victor. And the divine will is enjoying itself being conquered by this little newborn, this tiny little one. See, our God is, true humility is to say, you are Lord, I am not. You are great, I am not. You are strong, I am not. You know, it's, humans go, I'm pretty good. I do a pretty good job. I'm really good at this. It's meaningless to God. And that's what he says to Louisa. If I don't see the divine will in every thought, every word, every deed, it's meaningless to me. It's nothing. And what does he say to Louisa? He says, Louisa, often, when I see that which is human, I want to destroy it. That's not why I created Adam. I created Adam to be like God. Image and likeness. To do what God does. And that's why this great gift of the divine will is so important. God is waiting for us to be so docile, so little, so submissive, that he can see in us himself. Again, the three stages to become a divine mirror of Jesus, 1 through 10, to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, 11 through 19, and then to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to possess this. There's nothing less than this. This is what God wants. So he says, in fact, this creature, this soul, sees herself divinely strong in the divine love of God, divinely strong in the divine sufferings of God, divinely strong in divine operating of God. It's not human. Dude, that's why we were made. We weren't made to be humanly strong. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the greatest, Mr. Universe, is going to look like a wimp to the souls living in the divine will. It has nothing to do with the human. Einstein, his brain is going to look like a pea compared to what the souls of the divine will are going to possess. You have to understand, what God has is not human. When we look at the things that are human, we're really insulting God if we think that has anything to do with the divine will. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has planned to give to those who love him. This is everything to God. And that's why it says very clearly, in fact, this soul, Louisa, sees herself divinely strong in the divine love of God, divinely strong in the divine sufferings of God, divinely strong in the divine operating of God. This divine strength is the halo of this creature. This Louisa is the invincible one before God. And over herself, over her weaknesses, over her passions, they tremble before this little victor. This is what God's got planned. See, the demons have to flee from Louisa. Why? Jesus calls her the invincible one before God Almighty. The invincible one. The weaknesses, her passions, tremble before this little victor. She has divine strength. Now you see why when God says these four things. Number one, that what's coming upon the earth is so horrific that the large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. That's how bad it's going to be. What's coming is so bad, God says it's never been seen before, it will never be seen again. Second, he says, my mother is marking all the little children in the holy divine will. How does Mary know if we are little children in the holy divine will? If she can see Louisa in us. And how does she see Luisa in us? By reading, studying, and putting into practice these truths. The third thing Jesus says, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, who are linked to Luisa, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. Little or no effect. 30, 60, or 100-fold. Little or no effect. And then finally, he says, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. What's coming is so horrible that to be a saint isn't strong enough. You have to have the invincible, you have to become an invincible one before God. You have to be like Luisa. Okay, that means you've got to read this, you've got to study this, you've got to go to Luisa, you've got to pray to Luisa, you've got to plead with Luisa. You've got to say, I want to receive this gift that you, Luisa, possess. I want not one iota away from who you are, Luisa. You possess it. I don't want anything short of what you, Luisa, possess. I don't want anything more than what you, Luisa, possess. The reason I'm saying that is some people have said that, well, Luisa's got hers, I'm going to get something else. No, that does not true. There's nothing more. You can't possess more than the one who is the center of the divine will. God deposited the center of the divine will in Luisa. It's Our Lady can mark us if she sees Luisa in us. She's got to see Luisa's love in us. She's got to see Luisa's confidence in Jesus and Mary in us. Yeah, this is very, very important. If you want to be a Franciscan, you follow Francis. If you want to be a Dominican, you follow Dominic. This isn't that. This is to have the image and likeness of Jesus and Mary. That's what Luisa possesses. Therefore, if you, Luisa... Oops, sorry. I missed this. God himself smiles, and God himself changes justice, divine justice, into divine love. God changes divine justice into divine forgiveness before the infantile strength of Luisa. She's nothing. Yet she lets God reign in her completely. Image and likeness. That's what God wants for us. So if we think we're something, God can't use us. We've got to have the nothingness of that Luisa possesses for God to give us the divine will. It's so simple. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. And when we, for example, when you stand before God in the day of judgment, you stand before holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. You are nothing compared to who God is. And he's going to show you every thought, every word, every deed. He's going to reveal to you how those thoughts, words, and deeds affected the earth. How it hurt people. How it hindered them from getting close to God. It's going to be awful. It's going to be awful. And the only thing we can do is stand and say, yes, you're right. So what is God asking of us? He's asking us to go through our life and everyone else's life, like Luisa, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. Why? So it will be as if Adam never sinned. When he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. God wants more from us than all the saints combined. It's to be one with Jesus, one with Mary, through this newborn Luisa. That's what God is waiting for. Infantile strength. God smiles, changes divine justice into divine love, changes divine justice into divine forgiveness. See, we as Moses pleaded for the Israelites by standing in the breach, this is what we do in the divine will. We're called to bring everyone before the throne of God, asking God for forgiveness, not only for ourselves, for every thought, word, or deed, but for everyone's thought, word, or deed. And if you're not doing this every night before you go to bed, you're not anywhere close to Louisa. She pleaded for all of us every single day, pleaded to have mercy on us. That's Louisa's life. So for Our Lady to see Louisa in us, we've got to act like Louisa. That doesn't mean being in bed for 64 years, but it means to learn how to pray the way Louisa prayed. And again, that's why the Echo book is so important. Learn this. Learn how to pray, you know, one prayer at a time. Learn how to stand before God, as it says here, infantile strength before God. And God brings forgiveness. God brings justice, divine love out of divine justice through Louisa. And if we're doing this, then we can be marked by Our Lady. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. It is the divine strength of the Blessed Mother. It is Our Lady's perennial care that renders Louisa strong and Louisa invincible. So here, this is what God is asking of us. To go to the Blessed Mother, as Louisa did, and to get the strength from Mary, the perennial care from Mary, that Our Lady will render us strong and invincible. It's to be like God. That's our Blessed Mother. She is the perfect one, Theotokos, the Mother of God, Theotokos. She is invincible. This is why you pray to Our Lady. You pray to Our Lady, why? Your prayers are going to be answered. And how's that prayer go? No one has come to you, has left without you answering our prayers. Our Lady is invincible. And Louisa is the firstborn who has the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, and the true life of Mary, the new Eve. That's what God is looking for. Do we have what Louisa possesses? Do we have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary? And again, if it's not there, then something is wrong. We're not reading correctly. We're not listening correctly. Jesus wants to teach us. Jesus wants to help us, like what we read. True transformation, a true divine wedding. He says he wants to invest us with divine strength in everything to transform us from little to strong, from little to victor, to having the divine will enjoying itself being conquered by its little ones, its little newborns. See, we have to begin to read and let Jesus teach us what this means, how it is accomplished, and why it's accomplished through Louisa. It's no other person. There's no other person, I don't care how saintly and good and holy they are, who knows the divine will. Nobody knows it. It's Louisa possesses it. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to be so close to Louisa that God is transforming us. So it says, this is great. Therefore, if you, Louisa, want to be victor over everything, grow in the arms of my most holy divine will. That's the same thing for us. If we want to be like Louisa, to be victor over everything, all our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativities, and our sins, our passions, grow in the arms of the divine will. We have to learn how to do this. When Louisa goes onto the lap of the Father, we go onto the lap of the Father with Louisa. If whatever God is teaching Louisa, we say, I want this as well. Because he's not going to force us to do this. You have to tell him what you want. And if he says to Louisa, come on my lap, you say, I want to be on your lap with Louisa. Don't go there alone. Go there with the one who possesses it, and that's Louisa. It shall pour itself out in you, and you shall feel its palpitating divine life in you, and the divine will shall raise you in its divine likeness, and you shall be divinely honored in its divine triumph and its divine glory. See, this isn't being good and holy and saintly. You have to understand, we were called by God to be in God's image and likeness. We were called by God to be divine. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to give our fiat. Do what Jesus is doing with Louisa. This is how it's going to happen. This is why it's going to happen. You cannot do this separate from Louisa. She possesses this gift. She is the one who has this gift. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.